What was the creative process like for this EP? How do you think it's different from the stuff that you guys have done in the past?
Well, I mean, as far as it started with the first EP, and we just kind of, you know, we hadn't released anything in 7 years, and 25 years into a career, you kind of stray from your roots, and it's just kind of a natural thing that happens. So we wanted to really retrace our steps, get back to writing the way we used to write. And it was a lot harder than you would think to really do that. So that was the beginning of the creative process. We were really critical on our own stuff. We wanted it to just be true Skid Row, you know. And we used the same approach on the second EP, which came a little bit easier because once we got back to where we wanted to be, it kind of opened a lot of doors and floodgates. So being the creative process was a little smoother on the second one. And then, I shouldn't say smoother. It was just, it came more natural. So, you know, we went in, Jake and I started writing in Atlanta, and when he still lived in Burbank, we started writing some stuff, and we'd fly to each other's house, and then we demoed. The guys would come in, and we'd rehearse the songs, demo them, and then, you know, make whatever changes we felt needed to be made. And then we went to the studio and did it for real with Jeff Telmay, who engineered it, and we recorded down in Kennesaw, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. And we mixed with Jeff, and it was a really, really fun process.
You mentioned before that, you know, the band's been around for so long and that you have to kind of, you know, reinvent yourself or go back to your roots and stuff. You know, for a band to be around as long as Skid Row has, you had to have done so many things right. What do you think that the band has done right, and how do you think that's contributed to where you guys are today?
I think we're honest. You know what I mean? Everything is heartfelt from this band, and it has been since the inception. We don't do anything that we don't like. You know, we don't get pushed into anything, and if we want to experiment, we experiment. Like with Revolutions Per Minute, we just experimented with a bunch of stuff and had fun with it. And people liked it or hated it, and you know, it is what it is. It was where we were at the time, and it was a fun thing for us to do. But we go on stage, we never use samples, we sing all of our own backup vocals. Everything that you're hearing from the stage is being performed on that stage. And, you know, we're just an honest band, and I think our fans appreciate that.
When you guys were plotting out the second EP, what were your goals? What were you saying that you wanted to accomplish?
We wanted to obviously have the same theme as Mad World Rebellion Chapter 1, but we wanted to make it a little more intense, and we wanted it to sound like Skid Row. We didn't want it to stray from our sound and our songwriting. And I think we accomplished that. And someone actually told me the other day that when they heard the EP, and as soon as the music started, it was like a signature Skid Row riff, which made me feel really good. Made us all feel really good.
At the same time, so much has changed in the music industry since that first album. What do you think you guys have done to kind of stay relevant, like in terms of social media, in terms of your releases, all of those things, in order to like kind of catch fire with this new audience?
I'm not sure what we did, but we keep up with social media, you know, because it's a necessary thing. Not that I'm crazy about it or anything, but we're all up with it. And, you know, you just have to count on times, but not lose sight of, you know, what you did and what the music you write and perform is. It's not the easiest thing to do, but you have to be true to yourself. You have to be true to your music so that your fans enjoy it. And, you know, like I said, the music business has changed so much, and you just got to kind of keep up with it, but not get wrapped up in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is that one of the reasons why you guys decided to release, you know, a few EPs rather than an album, considering that's the way the industry is moving now?
Well, we weren't really worried about the way the industry was moving as much as it was. You know, we want to keep a constant flow of new music out there. So we don't just record now and then go on tour for 2 years. And then, you know, it's the age of information overload. And
yeah.
You know, whether it's DVDs or CDs or video games or whatever, I mean, just going back to social media, you have people putting up pictures of your food. You know, it's just like, people are getting so many different alerts on their smartphones or Twitter and Facebook and this and that and the other thing. And it's like, you got to compete with that. So we figured it would be a really cool thing to do to release EPs, and it keeps the cost down for the consumer, and it keeps the band out on the road, and keeps the band being creative, and it's been a really cool way of doing things for us. We haven't done anything like it before, and so it'll be like a 3 or 4 year process by the time it's all done.
Speaking of being on the road, you guys are currently on tour with Skara. How's that going? They're a pretty cool young band. How are you guys working with them?
They sounded good. I heard them from the dressing room last night. They sounded really good. We did this for the second show that they were on with us was last night. So we're actually traveling to Kentucky today. So I'm going to try and catch the set tonight.
We Are the Damned immediately kind of resonated with me. I was wondering, what's the creative influence behind that song? How was it written? How did it come together? Is there a story behind the song?
Well, you know, it follows the theme of, just standing up for yourself, standing up for what you believe in. But it also, lyrically, it just says, you know, the title itself says We Are the Damned. It's kind of... Sometimes you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And being, especially for artists and musicians and just creative people in general that think way outside the box, the status quo doesn't feel comfortable about it. So, you know, that's kind of the message in the song. Creatively, it was a riff that I had come up with and, Seth and I got together on it and just started writing, you know, and it's one of my favorites off this new tweet for sure.
You guys have done so much in music, but is there anything or a few things that you haven't done yet that you would love to do?
Well, I'm sure there is. You know, we never played Madison Square Garden, so a dream one day, especially if you're growing up in Jersey, to play Madison Square Garden, that would be definitely the thing of my musical bucket list. We're playing a festival at the end of this month in Poland in front of 500,000 people, so that's going to be pretty badass too. I'm looking forward to that.
Who are some musicians that you love that people wouldn't expect based on the way the band sounds?
Probably Norah Jones.
Oh.
I think she's incredibly talented, and Who else? I listen. My taste is very eclectic when it comes to music, but probably Norah Jones and PJ Harvey are the standouts. People probably never expected to be fans of them.
Wow. So what's next after the tour?
We're touring up until the beginning of December, and we're going back to Europe 2 more times, and we'll be in the States. In Canada a couple more times, and then we'll probably take December off, December break for the holidays, and then in January start writing the new EP and get that out in 2015.
Bottom line, why should someone buy this EP?
Because it kicks fucking ass. whether you're a hater or a non-believer, this is the EP that will transform your opinion for sure.